in the book of Psalms. We are today in Psalm 20. We begin with Psalm 20 today. I read to you the whole psalm. Psalm 20. To the choir master, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Psalm 20 is a prayer before the battle. Psalm 20 is a prayer before the battle. And Psalm 21 is actually giving of praise after the victory. Most of you would know the hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers. The evangelist D.L. Moody, he did not want his fellow colleague, soloist singer Sankey, to sing the hymn Onward Christian Soldiers, because Moody felt that the church was anything but a victorious army marching off to war, which the song speaks about. But yet, the Bible pictures God's people as soldiers in his army. We are soldiers in his army. I've repeated this so many times. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. It is a battlefield. As soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we wage a spiritual war against the enemy. Now, those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, knowingly or unknowingly, they are under the control of the evil one. In the Epistle of John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we read, "We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one." The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. A believer in Christ belongs to God's kingdom. He does not belong to this world. And this is the reason why the believer in Christ is hated by the world. In John 15 verse 19, it says, Jesus said, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now, this is also the reason why we need to recognize that we are in a battle. We are involved in a battle. We fight this battle against a real invisible enemy. And the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." So Psalm 20 deals with prayer and winning the victory. And Psalm 21 deals with praise and holding to that victory. If we trust the Lord, we will move through trouble to thanksgiving. That is what will happen in our lives. We will move through trouble to thanksgiving. In verses 1 to 5 of Psalm 20, we find that the people pray for their king. And you will find the words "we" and "you" in verses 1 to 5. Then in verses 6 to 8, David encourages the people. So you will find the words "I," "we," "they." Then in verse 9, both David and the people speak. And the king in verse 9 is Jehovah God. Jehovah God. Psalm 20 verse 9, I read from the New King James Version. "Save, Lord, let the king answer us when we call." The New King James Version has king, the K there in capital. That is Jehovah God. "Save, Lord, let the king answer us when we call." The psalm begins and ends with a plea for God to hear them as they pray and to give victory to the army of Israel. Psalm 20 verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And verse 9. Psalm 20 verse 9 we just read. Save Lord, let the king answer us when we call. So the psalm begins and ends with a plea for God to hear the people, hear their prayer, and to give victory to the army of Israel. The anointed king was the very life and breath of the nation of Israel. In the book of Lamentations chapter 4 verse 20, we read this. Lamentations 4 verse 20. The breath of our nostrils, the Lord's anointed, was captured in their pits, of whom we said, under his shadow we shall live among the nations. So the anointed king, the king anointed by God, was the very life and breath of the nation of Israel. The anointed king was also the lamp of Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 21 verses 15 to 17 we read, there was war again between the Philistines and Israel, and David went down together with his servants, and they fought against the Philistines, and David grew weary. And Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze, and who was armed with a new sword, thought to kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, you shall no longer go out with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. So the anointed king was the lamp of Israel. So the enemy soldiers would actually aim at the king. They would always make the anointed king their target. 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 31. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. So the king of Israel, the anointed one, was the target of the enemy. We must not forget that David was fighting the Lord's battles. In all the battles that David fought, he is fighting the Lord's battles. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 47. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. That's what David said when he faced Goliath. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When Abigail intercedes for Nabal, her husband, who had mocked the men of David, Abigail pleads to David saying, in 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 28, 1 Samuel 25 verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. My Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. We read the prophecy of Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 15. And he said, listen all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. For the battle is not yours, but God's. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. The covenant that God made with David, which we read of in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 11, assures David of victory over his enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 11. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Now, how does all of this apply to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? King David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the commander of the Lord's armies. Joshua chapter 5, remember? Joshua 5 verse 13 to 15. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. So, the Lord Jesus Christ is the commander of the Lord's armies. And Jesus will ride in victory over the armies of the world one day. This is sure to happen. Psalm 45 verses 3 to 7 speaks about this prophetically. Psalm 45 verses 3 to 7. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. Our Lord Jesus is actually described in the book of Revelation as the warrior. Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. Again in Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19 verses 11 to 21, we see the Lord, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in victory over his enemies. Revelation 19 verses 11 to 21. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice, he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Today, the church, through his church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is actually waging war. He is battling the enemy. Today, through his church, our Lord Jesus Christ wages war against evil, against sin, against disease. And he has already conquered death for us. And every believer in Christ is freed from the fear of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 14 to 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Now Psalm 20 describes three essentials that are needed, three essentials needed for victory as God's people fight against the forces of evil. This is very important. In fact, there are more than three. We will go into more details in God willing next time. We will look at these three. I'll just give you the headings and look into verses 1 to 5 today. Three essentials that are needed for victory as God's people fight the forces of evil. Number one, we must be a praying people. We must be a praying people. Verses 1 to 5. Number two, we need faithful leadership. Verses 6 to 8. Number three, we need to rest in the sovereign Lord. We need to rest in the sovereign Lord. Verse 9. So verse 1 to 5, a praying people. Verses 6 to 8, faithful leadership. Verse 9, resting in the Lord. A praying people. Verses 1 to 5. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 5. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. So many times we see the word may, and we'll come to that a little later. Before the army of Israel went out into battle, the Jewish law of warfare required the officers and the soldiers, they first must dedicate themselves to the Lord. They must come together, dedicate themselves to the Lord. Deuteronomy 20 verses 1 to 4. This has to happen before the battle. Deuteronomy 20 verses 1 to 4. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. See that verse 4? For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Now it has been said that battles are won the day before. Battles are won the day before. This means that we must be prepared to face the enemy. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be alert. We must be diligent in warfare. And we must be prepared, because this is a lifelong battle till we see the Lord face to face. And battles are won the day before, which means that we need to be prepared to face the enemy. Now we come to that word may. The word may is used 6 times in verses 1 to 5 in Psalm 20. As the people are praying, they're praying for the king. It was not only the lives of the king and his army that was involved. It was also the glory of the Lord. Also the glory of the Lord. Psalm 20 verse 5. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Psalm 20 verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20 verse 1 says that it was a day of trouble. It was a day of trouble. Psalm 20 verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Again, Psalm 50 verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Psalm 59 verse 16. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. Psalm 77 verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. Psalm 86 verse 7. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. Psalm 102 and verse 2. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. Jehovah is a very present help in our trouble. Let's never forget that. We are living in very troubled times. In fact, the man born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble, says the Bible in the book of Job. And we are living in very troubled times. But Jehovah is a very present help in our trouble. Psalm 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What does this mean? This means that we can face trouble from the enemy. When we face trouble from the enemy, we can call upon the Lord and we can experience his manifest presence. We can experience his peace and we can experience his intervention and help in the midst of the trouble. That's what it means, a very present help in trouble. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult your situation may be, no matter what the trouble is, just remember this one thing. God is your refuge. He is your strength. He is your very present help in your trouble. Take that promise to heart. The promises of God are for you. All of the promises in God's word are for us, His children. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of those promises are for us. So take those promises seriously. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 20 verse 1, the people prayed that God would answer the king's prayers and lift him above the enemy. That was their prayer. The King James Version uses the word defend. Psalm 20 verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. The Lord hear thee, that means they're praying for the king. That's why they're saying, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Now the God of Jacob is a familiar title for the Lord. The title is significant, and we will come to the possible reason for this title a little later. Let's just look at a few verses that have this title. There are so many verses actually in the Bible that have this title, the God of Jacob, the God of Jacob. Psalm 46 verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46 verse 11. Psalm 46 verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 75 verse 9. But I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Then I have given you the verses in which you will find the same phrase. The God of Jacob. Psalm 76 verse 6. Psalm 84 verse 8. Psalm 94 verse 7, Psalm 114 verse 7, Psalm 132 verse 2 and verse 5, and Psalm 146 verse 5. In the book of Isaiah 49 verse 26, Isaiah 49 verse 26, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The Mighty One of Jacob. Isaiah 60 and verse 16. Isaiah 60 verse 16. You shall suck the milk of nations. You shall nurse at the breast of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now the God of Jacob, what is the reason for that phrase? The God of Jacob suggests that God works on behalf of those who are weak and in special need. That's how God met with Jacob. Remember, he was fleeing. He was fleeing away from home, and he was going to his mother's brother, Laban. And when he's running away, he reaches Bethel. And then God meets with him. Later on, you'll find in Genesis 35, God reminds him of Bethel. Because that was his time of weakness. That was his time of special need. Genesis 35 verses 1 to 3. God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourself. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. So the God of Jacob means the God who is with you when you're feeling absolutely weak and helpless and you're in a special need. That's how Jacob was, running away from Esau, and God meets with him. Psalm 20 verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. David now had brought the Ark of the Covenant to Mount Zion, Jerusalem. You find that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. What does this mean? This means that God was enthroned among his people and God would help them. Psalm 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Remember the mercy seat of the ark? On both sides, at the top of the mercy seat is the cherubim, and between them is the Shekinah glory, where God is present. Psalm 80 verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Psalm 99 verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. God's holy name was upon the sanctuary, and therefore his glory was at stake. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14 verses 22 to 23 we read, it's in the context of tithing, Deuteronomy 14 verses 22 to 23. You shall tithe all the yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year, and before the Lord your God in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 2. And you shall offer the Passover sacrifice to the Lord your God from the flock or the herd at the place that the Lord will choose to make his name dwell there. So now David had brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. That means the Lord was with his people and the Lord was going to help his people. Deuteronomy 16 verse 11. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter. Deuteronomy 16 verse 11. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your towns, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name dwell there. God hears and answers our cry because we are his children and his glory is at stake. He is in our midst. Many times David brought sacrifices to the altar and dedicated himself to the Lord. He did that through burnt offerings and giving thanks to God. Psalm 20 verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. The people knew that David offered sacrifice. So they said, Psalm 20 verse 3. May he remember, they're praying for the king. They say, may he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. Samuel offered sacrifices to the Lord before Israel. Before the nation went into battle, Samuel offered sacrifices. 1 Samuel chapter 7 verses 9 to 10. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. So the Lord does not forget those offerings that were given as memorials to his great name. God does not forget. In the book of Leviticus chapter 2 verses 1 to 2, when anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take from it a handful of the fine flour and oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall burn this as its memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 2 verse 16. And the priest shall burn as its memorial portion some of the crushed grain and some of the oil with all of its frankincense. It is a food offering to the Lord. So this is the reason why we must be a praying people. Because God hears our prayer. Our prayers go up to him as offerings. And God remembers them. This is the reason why we must become a praying people. A people who pray without ceasing. That's what God wants. Our prayer ascends to the throne as a memorial before the Lord. And he will intervene. He will step into our situation. No matter how difficult it is. He will step in. He will intervene on our behalf. And he will throw confusion into the enemy's camp. And he will give us the victory. Because he is the Lord who has fought the battle for us on the cross. We stand on victory ground, never forget. We stand on victory ground, we fight from victory. We are not fighting for victory. Now David not only worshipped God and prayed, he also sought the Lord's will. He sought the Lord's will concerning strategy for the battle. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 to 14, you will see how David prayed and asked God. He sought the Lord's will concerning strategy, how to fight the battle. Now when we pray, We must ask God to show us His plans and trust Him to lead us into His will and show us His ways so that we can step by step know His ways and walk in step with Him. Psalm 103 verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. You see, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. So it was Moses who knew God's ways because Moses was close to the heart of God. So He will show us His strategy. He will reveal to us His plans. If we get close to His heart, and this is how we get close to His heart, we need to spend time with Him in prayer, calling upon His holy name. And our plans then will become His plans. Psalm 20 verse 4. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. How does that happen? Because our plans are now become His plans. And He will lead us by His Spirit. You see, today you and I have the Holy Spirit living in us because we are born of God's Spirit. We are born again. So He will give us, by His Spirit, He will lead us into all truth. John 16 verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will declare to you the things that are to come. So, how to fight the battle? What is the strategy? What to do? All of that, the Lord will show you. The central verse in the Psalm, Psalm 20, is verse 5. And this verse gives us a confident affirmation of victory before the battle even starts. Psalm 20 verse 5, may we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Again, we must remember it is the people praying for the king. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Raising banners, waving those banners, all of that is a sign of victory. And Jehovah Nissi means Jehovah is our banner. This is one of the special names of God. Exodus chapter 17 verses 15 to 16. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. Saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So the first essential needed for victory, my dear brothers and sisters, is to become a people of prayer, a praying people. That's how we see victory. That's how we get the glimpse of victory. That's how we can fight this battle against the enemy. This is so very important for us. In our own personal prayer lives and collectively as church, we need to become a praying people. Now, God willing, we look at a lot more essentials. In fact, there are about 10 essentials for victory next time. And then we will come back to the essentials that are spoken of in Psalm 20, which speaks about faithful leadership. Verses 6 to 8, and resting in the sovereignty of the Lord in verse 9. Let's close now and we will look into these details later next time.